you take your Bibles and turn to 1 Samuel chapter 16. A character study, by the way, it's dealing with the life of David. Now, the danger when we study these people's lives is we're not here to study, per se, their lives. The reason why God highlights certain men is because, or certain stories in the Word of God, is because God wants us to see Christ. That's who the Bible is about. When we read the Word of God, it's not about David, it's not about Moses, Abraham, it's not about Paul, it's not about Peter, it's not about any of those men. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, many of those men and women throughout the Word of God, we see that they were a picture of Christ, and they speak of God and how God deals with man. Now, the thing I do like, you want to go sit by Ray, David? Go ahead. And he's going to keep an eye on you, all right? All the way in the back there. There you go. Now, the great thing is, I don't know, how many of you like reading biographies? Okay, I enjoy reading biographies. I've read quite a few. But it's interesting that when you read someone's biography, especially autobiographies, there's a whole lot of good that takes place in a biography. But when it comes to the Word of God, God tells everything. He tells the good, the bad, and the ugly. And so when we study characters in the Word of God, we know that God is putting exactly what He wants us to know about these people and His dealing with those people in the Word. And so there's valuable lessons that we can draw from these men. And I want you to think, as we consider David, David, apart from the name of God or Jesus Christ, is the name that is the most mentioned in the Word of God. That means that God places a lot of significance on this man, David. David was the man, and we know him as the king of Israel. Think about it. God measured every king after David, whether he did follow after his father David or did not follow after his father David. Even the kings of the north that separated from Judah and Benjamin. Even when the tribes, when the nation of Israel was divided in two, God still measured every king, whether he was like David or whether he was not like David. Now, when we think of David, a few things come to our minds. One of the things is a man after God's own heart. But another thing comes to our mind, and that is the sin with Bathsheba. But God knew his whole life before we begin here in chapter 16 of 1 Samuel. And he still called him a man after his own heart. And so as we read here the Word of God, I think we can get a lot of help as we begin here in the life of David from just some of the things that God points out in his life. So 1 Samuel chapter 16, we're going to begin reading in verse 1. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 1, the Word of God says, "And the Lord said unto Samuel, How long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing how I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill thine horn with oil, and go, I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons. And Samuel said, How can I go? If Saul hear it, he will kill me. And the Lord said, Take an heifer with thee, and say, I am come to sacrifice to the Lord. And call Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show thee what thou shalt do, and thou shalt anoint unto me him whom I name unto thee. And Samuel did that which the Lord spake, and came to Bethlehem, and the elders of the town trembled at his coming, and said, Comest thou peaceably? And he said, Peaceably I am come to sacrifice unto the Lord. Sanctify yourselves, and come with me to the sacrifice. And he sanctified Jesse and his sons, and called them to the sacrifice. And it came to pass, when they were come, that he looked on Eliab, and said, Surely the Lord's anointed is before him. But the Lord said unto Samuel, Look not on his countenance, or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. Then Jesse called Abinadab, and made him pass before Samuel, and he said, Neither hath the Lord chosen this. Then Jesse made Shammah to pass by, and he said, Neither hath the Lord chosen this. And again Jesse made seven of his sons to pass before Samuel. And Samuel said unto Jesse, The Lord hath not chosen these. And Samuel said unto Jesse, Are here all thy children? And he said, There remaineth yet the youngest, and behold, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, Send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come hither. And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy, and withal of a beautiful countenance, and goodly to look to. And the Lord said, Arise, anoint him, for this is he. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forth. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. But the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. And Saul's servant said unto him, Behold now, an evil spirit from God troubleth thee. Let our Lord now command thy servants which are before thee to seek out a man who is cunning, a cunning player on a harp. And it shall come to pass when the evil spirit from God is upon thee that he shall play with his hand, and thou shalt be well. And Saul said unto his servants, Provide me now a man that can play well, and bring him to me. Then answered one of the servants and said, Behold, I have seen a son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, that is cunning in playing, and a mighty valiant man, and a man of war, and prudent in matters, and a comely person, and the Lord is with him. Wherefore Saul sent messengers unto Jesse and said, Send me David thy son, which is with the sheep. And Jesse took an ass laden with bread and a bottle of wine and a kid and sent them by David his son unto Saul. And David came to Saul and stood before him, and he loved him greatly, and he became his armor bearer. And Saul sent Jesse saying, Let David, I pray thee, stand before me, for he hath found favor in my sight. And it came to pass, when the evil spirit from God was upon Saul, that David took an harp and played with his hand. So Saul was refreshed and was well, and the evil spirit departed from him. Now, as we read this passage here, I'm interested in the fact that God chose David. Now, when we think about searching for a man, God is not searching in the sense that God is not looking for somebody. He already knows. I think we understand. But the search was for Samuel. God sent Samuel. God already knew who he's going to choose. But I want to ask this question this evening as we think about, as we open here, and really this is apart from the book of Ruth, where David's name is mentioned for the first time. In the book of Ruth at the end, when Ruth and Boaz got together and they bear a son, and then Obed, and then Jesse, and then David. So think about it. Really, in the lineage of David, we have Ruth, who was a Moabite woman, who was a Gentile woman, who's part of the family of David. David is a direct descendant. In other words, Ruth was David's great-grandmother. That's interesting. And now we come to David here, after Ruth, after we see his name mentioned twice in Ruth, we come to chapter 16, and I want us to ask ourselves this question, would God recommend us? Would God recommend us? Now, when we open the life of here of David, we know he comes at an interesting time, because at the beginning of the life of the nation of Israel, when they wanted a king, they came to Samuel the prophet. Now, we know that Samuel's children were not following the Lord. And so, basically, the children of Israel, as an excuse, came to Samuel and said, Look, your sons aren't living for the Lord. How about you just appoint us a king? And that he can rule over us. And so Samuel was a little upset, and he came to the Lord, and the Lord said, Look, Samuel, don't be concerned. They haven't rejected you from being king. They've rejected me. And so they requested for a king, and God said, I will hearken unto their voice, and I will give them a king. Now, Saul comes on the scene, and we really read about him in chapter 8 and chapter 9 of 1 Samuel. And the Bible tells us that God gives Israel exactly what they want. Now, compared to David's life, Saul was a little different. Now, the Bible tells us that Saul started off well, but the Bible only tells us that he was a good man and that he was taller than everybody else in Israel. That's it. In other words, there's no particular trait that God said, you know what, that is the kind of king I want. God gave them exactly what they wanted. Now, we know if we go back to chapter 15 of 1 Samuel, notice chapter 15, go down to verse 23. Notice what happened to Saul. As he's exposed, Samuel comes to Saul and tells him this in verse 23, "For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king." So notice here, now we read it out, and when we read it through 1 Samuel, we read that God rejected him and God gave him an evil spirit. But let's remember this, that Saul first rejected the word of the Lord. And because he rejected the word of the Lord, God rejected him from being king. Now, when this happens here, God now says, look, this is what I gave you, and this is the outcome. You have a man that's doing his own thing, who's not listening to my voice, who's not obeying my commands. He says, I want you to know, Israel, that I've rejected this man. And so he appoints, God tells Samuel, you're going to go find another king and anoint him. And so he goes in chapter 16 to the house of Jesse as God directs him. And God says, look, this is what you wanted here in a king, but now I'm going to give you my choice. That's really what happens. Saul was the people's choice, and God gave it to them, and we see what happens. And now God is going to give them his choice. So the question I have for us tonight is, as we think about how God looks at us, would God recommend us for a particular task? Would God recommend us? So as we study the life of David here, he comes as really, he's really not coming at this time as the king, but he's going to be anointed to be the next king. He would be the second king of Israel. This is kind of a transition time. They're getting used to this king idea. Saul reigned for 40 years. David reigned for 40 years. And then Solomon after him is going to reign for also 40 years. And then the kingdom is going to split. So that didn't last very long as a kingdom. But we see that David is going to be here, the second king. There's no doubt that when we first read about David, we find ourselves in a real mess where the leader of Israel had rejected the word of the Lord. And so the first thing we see really in this passage is, first of all, the search for a godly man. The search for a godly man. And when I mean search, I'm not saying that God was looking around. God knew where David was. God knew the man that he had picked. But he wanted Samuel to look for him. So we see the search for a godly man. The Bible says here at the end of verse 1 of chapter 16, he says, "For I," notice, "have provided me a king among his sons." God, as he tells Samuel, he says, look, I want you to fill your horn with oil because I have provided me a king. Now, I think the wording is interesting here. I've provided me a king. God does not say I've provided Israel a king. He says I've provided myself a king. He says he has provided himself a king. And we often think of a king as a leader over a certain people. But we must think of a king as a servant under God. And that's how God viewed the king. You see, Solomon was supposed to be a king under God, not necessarily over people. And God looks at David, the next king. Now, Samuel doesn't know. He says, I want you to know that I've already provided myself a king. And we have to be aware that the service for the Lord, whatever task we have and we do for the Lord, that our first calling is always to God Himself. God never wants us to do anything for Him until we are first with Him. Until we are first understanding what He wants of us, what He expects of us, until we have a desire to please Him. Now, Saul was the exact opposite of what David was. One of the greatest traits that describes a godly man is not a man that never sins, but is a man that when he sins, he gets right with God. And that's what David was. While Saul just disobeyed God and blamed somebody else. So there's a great contrast between these two men. But the Bible says, notice here, I provided myself a king. Saul was to do God's bidding, but he chose to rebel against it. Therefore, God was going to raise another man who would be obedient to his word. In verse 3, the Bible tells us, "And call Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show thee what thou shalt do, and thou shalt anoint unto me him." Notice again, God says, "Thou shalt anoint unto me." He doesn't say, "Thou shalt anoint unto Israel," to let everybody, Israel, know. No, God here makes a decision, says, "You're going to do this before me. This is all about me. I'm not anointing a king so that he can make his own decisions, be his own man, have his own program, have his own agenda. I'm anointing a man so that he can be with me and know my heart and know what I want to do in the nation of Israel." And it's the same with the work of God today, isn't it? That we are not supposed to come to God and say, "All right, God, you've chosen me here, and I'm going to do my own thing. Now I've just got plenty of wisdom. I just got all these ideas in my mind." No, God just wants to say, "Look, I'm not here. I didn't choose you to do your program. I chose you to do my program and to do my bidding." And notice he says, "Thou shalt anoint unto me him whom I name unto thee." This task was so important to God that he made sure Samuel knew exactly what to do and where to go. We go on, and the Bible says here in verse 4, we could read it down in verse 6, but notice in verse 6, the Bible says, "And it came to pass when they were come that he looked on Eliab and said, surely the Lord's anointed is before him." Now notice here in this search, God is pointing out here as Samuel goes to the house of Jesse and they purify everybody, get everybody ready and do the sacrifice. And now he gathers the house of Jesse and all his sons. Now, one of the sons is not there, but the Bible tells us that all the sons were gathered. And notice here, God sets a standard here. There's something that God wants points out here in this passage. Notice the Bible says, "And it came to pass when they were come that he looked on Eliab." So Samuel has the idea now, God sent me to go pick a man. And as he sees the Jesse and his children come in, he sees Eliab, the older brother. And he looks like he's a leader. He looks like he's a guy that could be in charge. He looks like a guy who can make decisions. He looks like he's a guy that would be a great leader that people could look up to. And the Bible tells us and said, "Surely the Lord's anointed is before him." So as he sees him, as he looks at him, he says, "This is it. This is the man." And notice verse 7, "But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart." We ask ourselves this question, what is in his search, in Samuel's search, what was God interested in? It's very simple. He is interested in the heart of a person. But we must not be careless in dealing with this topic, because you'll often hear people say this, and I'm sure everybody's heard it, "All that matters is that your heart is right. The outside doesn't matter." You hear that often. And a lot of times people use passages like that, see, "Well, look, all that matters is your heart, as long as God knows your heart." It may sound good, but it's just not Bible. You know, Matthew chapter 12, verse 34, as Jesus was preaching, he says this, "O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh." And it may sound good to say, well, all that matters is the heart, but God makes it clear throughout the Word of God that when there's a heart issue, it's going to come on the outside. That's clear in the Word of God. The heart will eventually be revealed, whether righteous or wicked. So God is pointing out here the heart, because he knows that if a man's heart is submitted to God, he will not need to worry about the outside. Now, let me make this statement, and I hope that we understand it this evening. It is impossible to have the it is possible to have the appearance of being a righteous person while having a wicked heart. Did you get that? It is possible to have the appearance of being righteous while having a wicked heart. That's possible. But it is impossible to have the right heart toward God and it not be reflected on the outside. That's impossible. In other words, the heart of man, only God knows that. And while it is possible for someone to come to church, to be faithful to church, nobody really knows their heart. It's possible for that same person to have a wicked heart, a heart that says, I really don't want to be here. I just do these things because, and you fill in the blank. But if God has someone's heart, and if that person's heart is to please the Lord, make no mistake, everything about that person on the outside will be a manifestation of what's in the heart. There's no doubt about it. So, yes, it's all about the heart. Because that's what God sees. But what does man see? Man sees the outside. The outside. You can fool a man, but you can't fool God. So as we think about that, we see here, notice the search for a godly man. As God was looking around, He was not looking like man was looking. He was looking for a man whose heart was pure before Him. Now, let me give you an example. A church today may be without a pastor, and they may be looking for a pastor. They may say, well, you know what, different preachers come through the church and they candidate before the church, and the church may look at a man and say, well, you know what, he's a very good preacher. They may look at a man and they may say, well, you know what, he's a very good administrator. He seems to be organized. And they may look at the same man and say, you know what, he seems like he is a really good leader. And all these things may be true, but may I say, is that all that matters? Because it is possible to have a preacher that is a good orator, that is a great preacher, that is a great administrator, that is a great leader, but his heart can be as dark as the charred walls of hell. It's possible. That's why the church has to pray for the Lord's leading. That's why the church has to know what is the will of God, because only God knows the heart. So as we think about that, the search for a godly man. But the second thing we see is not only the search for the godly man, but the service of a godly man. Now, the Bible doesn't tell us a whole lot about the activities of David during that time, but the Bible does point something out in, notice verse 11. As Jesse brings all his sons and they all parade before Samuel, and he says, no, 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 no. Verse 11, and Samuel said unto Jesse, are here all thy children? And he said, there remaineth yet the youngest. And behold, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come hither. And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy, and with all of a beautiful countenance, and goodly to look to. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. Now, the only thing we know about really David at this point is that he was a shepherd. He kept the sheep. Now, a lot of times, and you read commentators and all kinds of people, and they have their ideas about why David was not there, and they say, well, David was insignificant. People just didn't think he was good enough to be selected. Well, wait a minute. When you read Saul's servants, what they said about David and his reputation, the Bible says he was a man of war, a valiant man, cunning in playing, a comely person, prudent. The Lord is with him. David already had a reputation. But just in this little verse here, we understand here what David was all about. And as we think about the service of a godly man, God will never entrust a great responsibility upon a man who is not faithful in lesser responsibilities. You see, the reason why David was not there when Jesse was presenting all his son is because David had a responsibility. You see, David was to keep the sheep. And I'm thinking to myself, well, I'm sure all these other young men were busy. I'm sure they all had jobs. I'm sure they all had responsibilities. But the only one that's not there is the one that's doing his job. The one that's doing the responsibility that's been entrusted to him. And no doubt he saw himself as they all come, and no doubt there was a lot going on, and they were all wondering why Samuel was coming. Something big was about to happen. Saul has been rejected. That's been the word of the Lord. Samuel has proclaimed it, so perhaps they're expecting, hey, he's selecting another king, and the house of Jesse is a good house. Maybe we should show up. But David was not concerned about the pomp and the circumstance. He was not concerned about the praise. He said, I have a job to do here, and I'm going to do that. Now, David was not looking for a promotion. He was not looking to be exalted to a higher position. David was content to serve as a shepherd for his father. You know, the only thing that God requires in a servant is this: faithfulness. Faithfulness. You first find David in his life, what could you say about David? He was faithful. That's what you know right off the bat about him. He's faithful. Look, do you have any other sons? Well, yeah. Isn't it amazing that they knew exactly where he was? He's keeping the sheep. Because that's what he does. He's faithful. They didn't say, well, I don't know, he's maybe playing around out for a swim, I don't know. No, they knew that David was faithful. You know, David as a shepherd was not being recognized. We know that he slew a lion and a bear while protecting the sheep, but he is never seeking praise and attention. This is a young man that is simply keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said, go and get him. Now, the Bible says as he comes, the Bible says he was ruddy and with all a beautiful countenance and goodly to look to. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. In other words, David, a lot of times people make it to be like, well, David was this short, little, skinny teenager that was really unlikely to be the next king. That's not true. When people looked at him, they saw a good young man, a well-kept young man. A young man with manners, a young man that when people looked to him, they said, man, that's a sharp young man. That's a young man that perhaps today we say, that's someone that's going to do something for God one day. I mean, but David, notice, was faithful. So we see, notice, the search for a godly man. We see the service of a godly man and its faithfulness. And thirdly, we see the signs of a godly man. Now, we see, first of all, on the search for a godly man, that God has already picked out a young man that's after his own heart. God knows his heart. He knows the kind of heart David has. He knows the kind of man he is. God knows that he's faithful. Now, what we know about David as we see that in his service and what he's doing when we find him is he's being faithful. He's keeping the sheep. But now we go a step further and we see the signs of a godly man. And what I mean by that is not what God sees, because God already knows that his heart is after God. But the signs of a godly man is what other people say about David. And that's what we're about to see. Because the Bible tells us after this whole thing happens about David being anointed king, the Bible tells us in verse 15, and Saul's servants said unto him, behold, now is an evil spirit from God troubleth thee. Now, isn't that interesting? That they knew that God was oppressing Saul. You see, Saul never said, well, he pretended, okay, I have sinned against the Lord, honor me now. That's not repentance. True repentance is what David did. I have sinned against the Lord. My iniquity is ever before me. Against thee, the only, have I sinned. Please restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. That was true repentance. Saul never did that. Now, Saul, because of that, because he rejected the Lord and the Lord's word, now God has rejected him, and now God sends an evil spirit upon him. He oppresses him. He troubles him. And by the way, the whole time, Saul could have gotten right with God. God never shut the door, but Saul was never repentant. He never saw himself as doing anything wrong. He saw himself as the king, as the man in charge, who no one, not even God, is going to tell me what to do. So God was troubling him. Notice, and Saul's servant said unto him, behold, now an evil spirit from God troubleth thee. Everybody knew that God was doing this. And notice verse 16, let our Lord now command thy servant which are before thee to seek out a man who is cunning player on a harp. And it shall come to pass when the evil spirit from God is upon thee that he shall play with his hand and thou shalt be well. And Saul said unto his servants, provide me now a man that can play well and bring him to me. Then answered one of the servants and said, behold, I have seen a son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, that is cunning in playing, and a mighty valiant man, and a man of war, and prudent in matters, and a comely person. The Lord is with him. Wherefore Saul sent messengers unto Jesse and said, send me David thy son, which is with the sheep. Isn't that interesting? God points that out again. You see, when Samuel came to anoint a king, they said, well, where's David? He's out in the sheep. And now the king wants someone to play the harp for him and to help him out. And he says, go get thy son, which is with the sheep. Everybody knew where David was. Everybody knew that David was faithful, but notice the signs what these servants say about David. Now the Bible says here, the servant said, "Behold, I have seen a son of Jesse." So perhaps these servants didn't even know him by name. They just knew of him. He already had a reputation. And notice what they say about him. The first thing they say about him is, "Behold, I have seen a son of Jesse." Notice, that is cunning in playing. And so, well, what does this have to do with anything? Well, the word cunning has the idea of this. It's someone that gives his best in learning a particular instrument or to learning a particular task or a particular trade and becomes an expert. That's the kind of man David was. May I say, that ought to describe a Christian. If a Christian does anything, learns any subject, man, I'm getting convicted now because I remember now my years in school where I wasted a lot of my time. But a Christian, whatever he takes on as a task or learns, must do it to its full extent, to his best. That's what, why? Because that's what God deserves. In other words, David was a man that says, whatever I'm going to learn, and the fact was this harp, I'm going to learn it so good that I become an expert at it, that I can do my best for God. God has given me this talent, and I'm going to do my best. Isn't it interesting that the same man that God says, this heart is the kind of heart I want. That's the kind of young man I want. We see that this young man was faithful, and so it happens to be that this young man is an expert in the harp. You think maybe that that's related a little bit to his character? Yeah, of course. He says, notice, he's that is cunning in playing, notice, and a mighty valiant man and a man of war. A lot of times we go to the next passage in 1 Samuel chapter 17 where the story with Goliath, and we have the time when Saul says to David, well, thou art but a youth, but he a man of war from his youth. Look, David was not a little scrawny little kid that didn't know how to fight. Already at that stage, as a young man, the Bible tells us how they describe him. He was a mighty, valiant man and a man of war. You know what that tells us about David? It tells us that this is a man that does not back away from difficult situations. That's the kind of young man David was. We know that he killed a lion and a bear, defending the sheep. I don't know how you would feel. I think that maybe with a bear, if I'm equipped with maybe a bow or a shotgun. But a lion, that's another story there. But he killed. So what does that tell us about David? The Bible says here, this is right, he's a valiant man. He's a man of war. Any man that goes to war is a man that is willing to face and to put himself in a difficult situation. And I fear today that many times Christians, what happens is things get a little difficult, and what happens is we begin to fold, or we stop going to church, or we stop doing things that we knew that we ought to do. Why? Because things get a little difficult, and so we begin to waver because the situation gets a little difficult. Well, God expects us to be valiant for Him, to stand. Everybody's going to go through difficult situations. Everybody. Nobody's immune to that. But the test of a Christian's character is not when everything is going fine and smooth. The test of a Christian's character is when he faces difficulty. And when David faced difficulty, he remained faithful. So we see the Bible says that he was a cunning in playing. He was a mighty, valiant man and a man of war. The Bible tells us then he was and prudent in matters and a comely person. Now, the word prudent in matters, this is a man that knows how to behave himself appropriately in each situation under different circumstances. That's the kind of man David was. He was a prudent man. In other words, this is a young man that if he walked into the courts of a king, he knew how to behave. This is a young man that if he was out with the sheep, he knew how to behave. This is a young man that if he was with his friends and his peers and no authority around, he was doing the right thing. This was a man that knew how to behave. He knew how to dress himself. He knew when he had a certain reputation that whatever he was, wherever he was, under what authority he was, whatever situation he was a man that knew how to behave himself. And really, that's what you expect out of children when you train them. Four children that I have, I want them to behave. I want them to know how to behave in church. I want them to know how to behave when we go to someone else's house. I want all these things in different situations. Now, kids will be kids, and you should let kids be kids. In other words, it shouldn't be strapped to a chair and then left there all day. Kids will be kids. They have to expand their energy, all these things. But they're different places, different scenarios. You're outside, go ahead, run, fall on your head, do whatever you want, you know? But knowing how to behave and where and how. That's the kind of man David was. In other words, that man, they had so much confidence in him that it said, wait, he's a shepherd? No, it's David. Whether he's a shepherd or in the king's courts, he knows how to behave. That's the kind of man David was. Do you think maybe that has a little bit to do with his heart? His heart condition? So we see, notice, he was a cunning in playing. He was a mighty, valiant man, a man of war, a prudent in manners, and a comely person. The Bible tells us, really the most important of all, and the Lord is with him. This is a man that has the Lord's blessing upon his life. Now, this word is being misused today. We have today people that are on TVs all across the nation, say, hey, you send my money to you and God will bless you. Sometimes people even use the verses in Malachi. We'll deal with that. That if you just tithe, God will open up the windows of heaven that you cannot withhold. Well, let me ask you this. Have you, most of you probably have tithed your whole life. You ever seen the windows of heaven open to where your bank account is, oh man, your banker calls you and say, look, it's too full, sorry, we can't handle anymore? Anybody ever happened that? No, I don't think so. It's not talking about you get a bunch of money. The blessing, what is the blessing of God? The blessing of God is in that person's life. In other words, what are some of the results of the blessing? A person that's at peace. And we'll see that in the life of David. I think in all the situation he had, whether he was chased by the king, remember when he's backed in the corner, he didn't know what to do, but yet he was at peace. He was trusting God. That is the blessing of God. God giving a person a peace and confidence in the situation where there seems there should be no confidence, where there should be no peace. And whatever David did, God blessed it. Whatever David was involved with, God blessed that. Now, what does that tell us? It tells us it's about God's working through a person to be a testimony to those around him. That is the blessing of God. What was the blessing of God upon the nation of Israel, Malachi? Why were they not tithing? What was happening because they were not tithing? God could not bless them so they could not be a testimony around the world. The world said, these are God's people? Look at the way they're behaving. You see, no one could say that about David. People looked at David and said, the Lord is with him. That's what that is. No, I was wondering. I've looked at him all his life. You know, he's got talent, but you know, he's worked hard at becoming an expert on the harp. And you know, as I think of it, as I think of David, I mean, he's a valiant man. He's a man of war. You know, as a matter of fact, he's not just a man of war, and we think a man of war, you know, just a mean. No, no, no. Then he says he's a prudent man, and he's comely. Yeah, you know what? I think the Lord is with him. As a matter of fact, I know the Lord is with him. Now, is it interesting that the servants of Saul, who said to Saul, the Lord is troubling you. But this is what we're going to do, Saul. I think you should find a man that can play the harp. And Saul, the Lord's troubling you, but I think we ought to find a man that the Lord is with. And so, guess what happens? David comes into the court of the king.
And the Bible goes on to tell us, if we read in verse 20, and Jesse took an ass laden in bread and bottle of wine and a kid and sent them by David, his son, unto Saul. And David came to Saul and stood before him, and he loved him greatly, and he became his armor bearer. And Saul sent to Jesse, saying, let David, I pray thee, stand before me, for he hath found favor in my sight. And it came to pass, when the evil spirit from God was upon Saul, that David took an harp and played with his hand. So Saul was refreshed and was well, and the evil spirit departed from him. You know, the interesting thing about David's life and what it should be about the life of the Christian is that wherever we are, whatever situation we are in, we ought to bring peace to any situation. You see, David was such a man that even a man that was a rebel in the face of God, that shook his face in the face of God, he knew where to find peace. And that was in a young man in whom the Spirit of the Lord was. You see, the world may never want what you have, but they probably just enjoy being around you. They probably sometimes think, well, I wish I had that kind of peace. You know what? I wish the Lord was with me like that. I wish I had that person's character. And it comes down to it in this world, if the boss was to choose between two people, and on the one side you have a guy who seems to be on the outward, I mean, he's a go-getter, he's a leader, he's this and that, but then the employer on the other side has a Christian who has a heart for God and who's honest and is going to do the right thing and who has a pleasant spirit, the world will still pick that man. You know why? Because they know what's right. And when they see it, they know there's something different. That comes from the Lord. It's amazing to me that Saul knew what David had, but never wanted it for himself. He knew what David had, but never wanted it for himself. So I ask you this question again, and I ask myself this question. Would God recommend us? Whatever God has for our lives, and He has things for our lives He wants us to do. But would God recommend you? Would God recommend me for that task? He recommended David because he knew his heart.